Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I'm back with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Hey, James. Good morning to you.
Yeah. So how is the weather? How are things in Michigan?
Still beautiful. It is mid-November, and we've had sun almost every day, which is highly unusual. Like, November is one of my least favorite months of the year because typically it's cloudy and rainy, and we haven't had hardly any of that. It's been sunny and warmish, so it's nice.
Yeah. Well, a little further south in the Midwest is Nebraska, or southwest of you, but we had a beautiful week. Some days up in the 70s. I think one day broke a record at 77. So it's kind of a top 10 week, especially for this time in fall, and beautiful weekend. It's clouded over a little bit and it's going to cool off, but it's just normal fall weather. So I'll take it.
Anytime yeah.
The sun is out, that's good for me.
I'll tell you how much things have changed. Cities have actually changed the time when they come and pick up your leaves. So you put your leaves out to the curb, and on a certain day of the week, they come around, and today's our day, and they come around with a sucker truck and a scooper truck, and they take away all the leaves that you stick out in the street.
Yep.
They've had to move that back by a full month in recent years because trees are not losing their leaves on the schedule that they used to. So a little sign of how our climate is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's certainly happening here. I've got a lot of trees in my property. I mean, a lot more than I can rake. So I have a service come, and they were here this weekend, and there's still six big trees up right up front that still have most of their leaves on them. So we've got a variety here, but I'm dreading that because they have a lot of leaves on the trees. So no fun raking leaves, but awesome. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's kind of kick things off. We'll talk about the MSP question of the week. We'll start with that. So this would be a good one for you as well. But the question that came in is, what are the best KPIs and metrics for MSP CEOs?
Yeah. You know why I like this question is because that little bit at the end where it says for CEOs, because that's acknowledging that KPIs should differ depending on what your role is in the company.
Right.
So I really like this question.
Yeah. 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 It certainly was applicable to both you and I. I agree with that. I like the specificity of that, but on this one, so what would you think, you know, if you had your dashboard or scorecard, what would you put on yours?
You know, if I'm the CEO, the things I wanted to know, I wanted to make sure that we were staffed correctly.
Okay.
So, you know, so I wanted to know about utilization of my people.
Yep.
I wanted to know, how we were progressing on large technology shifts. So I would want to see some numbers on, like when we're moving people off of their servers and into cloud services, right? And that was a big multi-year project for us. I would want to see updates on the percentage of clients that we've completed, right? How are we moving along on those goals? And then, of course, I also want to keep an eye on our profitability numbers and, you know, how those things are going. So very kind of big picture health, like, I want to measure the things that tell me that my staff is doing all the things that I hope that they're doing and that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True. There's a lot. I've coached many MSP CEO on this specific topic, and, you know, you could have paralysis by analysis, and normally you want to kind of break down each of your departments and maybe have, you know, three key KPIs that you're really monitoring? And then if there's different initiatives, just like you hinted at, you know, all CEOs are different, your markets, your business plan is all different. So I think you need to customize it based on what you want. Before I jump into my quick laundry list, I'll just say, if anybody wants a copy, I've got a KPI sheet I'm happy to email out for free. Just email me at james@kernanconsulting.com, because there's a lot of really good ones. I used to break them down, Amy, into kind of two big categories. One, financial KPIs that I want to keep my eye on, and then also two, performance. And performance for the service desk, you know, the engineers and the techs, and also the sales team. I always had sales teams, and most of the clients I work with have salespeople. So I wanted to keep track of productivity. And in all cases, we would always have a goal. Here's what the goal is. And then we would monitor weekly actual performance. And then every week we'd compare, you know, here's where we're at so far this month. And I always looked at a 30-day window, because normally people pay your bills in 30 days, right? Those cycles, you know, you bill once a month, you know, most people, or you receive invoices once a month. But so just big picture, I like things like total MRR, total revenue, total gross profit. Those are some common ones that I liked on the financial side. You know, hopefully all of you don't have much AR out there. You know, if you do, or you build projects like that, make sure you're tracking your accounts receivable. So you can monitor past due clients. You got to watch that really closely. But hopefully you're collecting that money in advance, like Amy and I have been teaching everybody.
Oh, yeah.
The service desk productivity, I think, is super critical. Most MSPs, that's their biggest expense from a personnel, is their tech team. So the utilization rate, you know, that's the productivity being billed against a contract or billed against a project, response time, resolution time, total tickets outstanding. You know, one other one that measuring the manpower I always kind of liked was taking the total revenue per month and divide it by the total of service employees doing that work, and keeping track of that ratio. And yeah. I always wanted to make sure that, you know, we were, you know, over 15K per service person. That's good. You know, it's something we all hear this question, you know, your employees come up, oh, we're shorthanded and we need another tech. I mean, we're all dying here. And you look at the utilization and it's 45%.
Right.
Like, oh, we got a problem. You know, it should be closer to 75 or 80 before I start recruiting, but those are good ones. And then sales productivity, I think, is important. Maybe total calls, total number of meetings, you know, new customers and then existing customers for QBRs, total pipeline, total MRR, total gross profit, total sales by person and by team. I liked looking at all of those as well, because that was forecasting, you know, what's coming in for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are all good ones, but that's a big list. I'm happy to email out a bigger list, but I highlighted the ones that I think are the most important if anybody's interested. So,
yeah, I like your list. You know, you do have to watch out for that analysis by paralysis. So I coach people not to try to track every KPI at the same time. Look at the ones that are important to what your goals are for the quarter and shift it around, because we only have so much bandwidth in our brains. And so, you know, figure out what do you want to look at this quarter? What do you want to look at next quarter? There may be some things you need to look at year round, but you can sort of shift the bandwidth that you have in your brain to focus on different items each quarter. So it's interesting. If you guys go out to thirdtier.net, where my blog is at, and you search, click in there to search for metrics, and I'll give James this too, so that it's in the show notes. But I've got a list of my favorite metrics in there too, and they're very similar to what you just gave as well. You know, revenue per technician, percentage of revenue hitting the bottom line, excess capacity, cash flow, employee retention, new customer pipeline, customer happiness. And then I also talk a little bit out there on the, you know, the progress toward your goals. And then the disclaimer that I gave at the top is actually at the bottom of that article. I'm like, don't measure just to measure, right? Make sure that you're actually looking at it and you've got, you know, you're willing to take action. You have the time to take to action on the things that you've decided to measure.
Yeah. Yep. Love it. Love it. And I think it's really important too, you know, everything really boils down to, you know, what you want to track, the size of your organization. You know, I thought on the short term, I wanted to watch the productivity numbers. I used to watch those every day. I wanted to know if we were over goal or under goal every day. I wouldn't share that report with everybody, but at least I would know, because as CEO of my organization, I wanted to make sure our productivity was up and I kept everybody motivated and inspired. So yes. I watched that closely, but thanks for the question. That was a great question. Love it. So I think that's really important. So a lot of other things out in the news to talk about. Dave Sobel had a really good article out there around AI habits. And there was a Washington Post write-up and survey that they had about different tools. And some of the stats were really alarming. You and I have talked about AI a lot, right, on the podcast. But what was interesting is this was showing that there was, of surveyed, over 80% of employees, particularly in sectors like healthcare and finance, were using unauthorized AI tools. Okay. That's terrifying. So that means that they were only 20% were using company approved options. All right. That's the CEO's nightmare. And when I hear stats like that, that's a great opportunity for all of us MSPs to be using this kind of data in helping the AI evolution with your customers, with your prospects, you know, become that thought leader. And that plays right back into the course you're teaching right now, Amy, on AI. I love it.
It does. And I'll share a link with you guys on the AI acceptable use policy. Because why is this happening, right? I mean, that's a regulated industry that they're talking about in there, a highly regulated industry. 80% of people using unauthorized AIs. There's a huge problem with AI security and privacy right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they almost all say in their fine print that they will use anything you put in there to train the AI, which means it's available to everybody else too. So whatever you say, whatever you upload, hey, look at this spreadsheet for me. Hey, take a look at this document. That all gets sucked into the AI and it'll become part of the response that it may give to somebody else. Yeah. Huge problem. Yeah. Why are people using unauthorized AIs? Because there's no leader. There's no leadership in it. And I feel really strongly MSPs need to provide leadership. Yeah. It's a large part of what we're talking about in the class of how to develop that program, where you can get started by talking to your clients. And the first thing I have people do in my class, and this is the link I've shared, is to present to them an AI acceptable use policy template, go through it, because going through it lets you have that conversation about AI with them and starts to position you as the leader and the person that they should be coming to ask those questions.
Yeah, great point. And leadership is, you know, creating rules and responsibilities and guidance, not just for you, the MSP business owner, but for your customers. You know, that should be one of your value adds. You give them that that policy. So customize one for them. And a couple other quick bullet points on this. I think it said 74% of the IT leaders believe that nearly half of their tier one support tasks could be automated with IT. So we saw that coming. We've talked a lot about that. I see that inside my customer base as well. And then 63% of IT leaders report an evolution of their responsibilities due to AI. So the responsibilities and duties of leaders and you know, middle management, really your team, it's starting to change. So
yeah, help desk is in trouble. By that, I mean help desk staff is in trouble. So if you are a help desk staff person and you turn to Google or you're turning to ChatGPT to get an answer for your client, that means that you can be replaced by that same tool. So this is a career problem for those people. You need to be educating yourself right now to take a different tact away from the help desk. The help desk will be replaced by AI. There is no doubt.
Yep. So awesome. So another article, and we've talked about this as well, but I think it's relevant here, is there was a good LinkedIn article about American leaders rethinking the 40-hour work week, right? And Amy and I have had lots of discussions about this. And what was interesting to me about this article, Amy, was there were a lot of references about how we got to where we are. Okay. You know, our nation's founding fathers, you know, 1776 through the early 1900s, people typically worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. I mean, there was almost like no boundaries. So there was no time to scroll your smartphones back then, right?
No, you couldn't. I mean, working all those hours prevented smartphones from being invented, because nobody was going to have time to use them anyway.
Exactly. And it was funny. I think Henry Ford in 1926 was the first ever big business leader that created that 40-hour work week, you know, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, where I think the standard at that time was more of a 48-hour work week. And it kind of changed and changed. And you and I have talked a lot about, you know, coming through World War One, World War Two, things continue to change. But then when we hit COVID, that's, I think, when everything really got flipped upside down. And we're all in the technology industry, right? So we should have our tools available at our fingertips. People could work remote. And, you know, we proved that we could do that. And then I saw a big influx of businesses forcing people back to work. And in some cases, I think it blew up in their face, where I did see a lot of turnover, but I think the productivity numbers were going down and the collaboration was going down of having that chemistry of, you know, 10 smart people sitting in the same room and brainstorming on things. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about this. Yeah. When Henry Ford invented the 40-hour work week, right? He's credited with that. Mm-hmm. At the time that he did that, the standard work week was 70 hours or more. And he alone said, well, we're going to go with 40. So people have more leisure time to drive their cars, because we sell cars and that depends on leisure time. Mm-hmm. And so a 42% reduction in the work week is what he implemented. I'm sure that every other business owner thought it was absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And not everybody followed with that in that same year. It was a bunch of years later. I think it was almost like 40 years later before that became national law to say, oh, everybody should get a 40-hour work week, not just those that work at Ford. And so for 40 years, they must have had that push me, pull you thing that we're seeing with the remote work on site. It must have been a similar thing. Like, no, I got to have my people here for 6 days a week. I can't have them here for 5 days a week. That'll never work. I got to have them here for 12 hours a day. I can't have them here for 8 hours a day. I'll go bankrupt.
Yeah.
But they all figured it out. And that's the standard going forward. But think about this. What happened to allow the 70-hour work week? And the 70-hour work week was a product of farming, right? People ran their farms 6 days a week, and then they spent Sunday at church. And then they farmed 6 days a week, and they spent Sunday at church. So when they got jobs, they expected, oh, that's how you just work. That's how the world works. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when manufacturing came along and they, you know, developed the, Henry Ford again, right? He developed the assembly line and increased efficiencies in how things are manufactured. that's what allowed that 42% reduction in the work week to occur. Yeah. Guess what we've got on the horizon, that we're just seeing the low on the horizon of AI. When that fully gets here, talk about a shift in the way things are done and the level of productivity. What if the work week goes down 42% again?
Yeah.
That would be a 22-hour work week. And that's unimaginable. It's as unimaginable to us today as it would have been to businesses in, you know, the, what was that, 1930s, when Henry Ford did the 40-hour work week from 70 to 30, 40?
Yep, yep.
I mean, we're on the precipice of something very large. Like, it doesn't seem today, looking backward, it doesn't seem like the assembly line was such an amazing technology that would have had that big of a dramatic an effect. But we're all looking at AI right now going, wow, this is going to be an amazing technology. Yeah, like, gosh, it's going to game changer. It makes sense that it's going to have an effect on the, you know, the hours. It'll give us the opportunity to claw back some free time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I just have mixed feelings on, I guess I'm thinking of this for the MSP business owner, where, you know, when a customer's system goes down or they have a problem, they need our help. That's what we do. And, you know, if more and more of your employees are shrinking down to a 4-day work week, you know, that just typically means I've got to get coverage for those other days. And normally it means an increase in cost. And, you know, to me, it seems counterintuitive for us. I think the evolution of AI is going to help with this problem. And historically, the unemployment rate in the tech space is really, really low, meaning it's really, really hard to get good people. So, you know, we're going to be kind of forced into maybe leveraging these tools like AI a lot better. But it'll be an interesting time, you know, moving forward and see how people adapt and adjust to these changes. So we'll see. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, let's see. So a couple other quick highlights. Now that we're back to business in the federal government, looks like FAA finally clears all the airports to resume full schedules. I didn't really have any issues. Granted, I didn't travel during the work shutdown, but a couple people that I talked to, clients of mine that did, said they really didn't have issues. I saw a couple nightmares on social media, but did you hear any horror stories about people traveling during that time having issues?
I did not. It was a fairly small reduction, right? It was 10% at certain airports.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that to me, that was fairly minor. The bigger thing, and the thing I thought that they should have done right off before they made that 10% reduction, is they did actually ground the private planes, which is a 12% reduction in the in flights. So that was probably more disruptive to the folks with private planes than those flying public transportation.
Yeah. Yep. True. Well, I'm just glad to see the federal government. What a waste of money that was to be shut down. Don't want to get into politics here, but I'm just glad to see that we're getting things back to normal, especially because I'm getting ready to do some traveling. So,
right.
Hard to me too.
But, well, everybody's getting ready to do some traveling, right? Thanksgiving is coming up here real fast.
And sure.
I think that's the number one travel time for air flight, if I'm not mistaken. I think it is Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, well, it's logical. I hope that's one of the key reasons why they finally came up with a compromise and got things going. So anyway, that's good news for all of us, you know, whether we're a federal employee or not. So the skies hopefully are safer now. So a couple other things caught my eye. WhatsApp. Have you ever used the WhatsApp app before?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan. Yeah.
Okay.
I've used it for years. I only use it for special occasions, though. I don't use it daily.
Yeah.
So I use it when I travel internationally. And I've used it for certain small group communications for just specific reasons. So it's not my everyday chat app, but I think it's a really good app. I understand. I was on a podcast last week and with a company in Bali, and Asia, they use WhatsApp exclusively. Like, everything is done over WhatsApp. I mean, it's the number one app. You can share files, photos, everything. It's not just simple chat. You can have phone calls over it. It's a pretty great app. It just hasn't caught on much here in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, this article, it caught my eye because I resisted and resisted throughout the years. And finally last year, earlier this year, actually, was when I finally set up my account and started using it. It was because I was traveling internationally, of course, but, you know, it was simpler than I thought, you know, to set up and use. And internationally, it seems like that is the norm. And this article showed there's a 40% growth, year over year with the app. So more and more US, specifically iPhone users were, you know, growing at a faster rate, I guess, than us Android people. So glad to see that, that those guys are growing.
Yeah. I wonder why that's specific to iPhone users.
Yeah.
I don't know what's behind that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's a good app. That's got to make Meta happy. This is another Meta app.
Yep. That's important. And then something else that caught my eye, only because I didn't even know these guys had a channel partner program for us MSPs, but it's Zoom was in the news, and they're revamping and doing a complete overhaul on their current partner program. And maybe it was miserable because nobody heard about it. But that's why they're trying to fix it. But I didn't hear about it. I didn't even know about it. Makes sense. They have one. But did you know they had one?
I did not know they have one. But, you know, I no longer have an MSP. So if I had an MSP, I probably would have looked to see if they did. Yeah, I think it's important. Any of the applications that your clients are using, you should be selling it to them. I mean, it's only a couple of percentage points, but these little things add up.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, if you do a good job of tracking all of those, there's some good rebates on these partner programs that that puts a couple extra nickels in your pocket, and that's all the more important anymore. So,
makes you a little bit more sticky with the client too, right?
Yeah,
it's one more thing. Yeah, we get our Zoom through those guys too. Maybe we should talk to them before we give them the axe, right?
Right. Yeah, they control everything. So, well, good. Well, good stuff. Any other final thoughts or anything else coming up for you in the next 30 days?
I'm still focused on my end of year stuff that we've talked about before. So I'm not going to rehash that, but I'm busy, but I got a bunch of stuff I want to wrap up by end of year. But, you know, my parting advice for MSPs today is, stop underestimating AI. I would even encourage them not to think about how their company is going to use AI, but to think more about how your clients are going to be using AI and make sure that you are keeping pace with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a great point. It's a great point. I mean, that article just strengthened what we've been talking about with AI. You know, you got to have those conversations with your customers, because if you're not, someone else will, and they're going to take your business away.
Well, I'll tell you, if your customer, 70% of the employees there are using AI, and you are not managing, monitoring, and securing those applications, then you just missed a huge percentage of what that company is using.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think of that as you just reduced the percentage of your value for that client.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Yeah, I've got a mastermind coming up in Newport Beach, December 4th and 5th. that's my big trip coming up. I'll be out there for almost a week with that event. So looking forward to that. And I've got a couple other little webinars through the remainder of the year. So, but other than that trip, I'm excited to, we got the holidays coming up and looking forward to gaining 10 pounds.
You know, Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays because it's not, it's just kind of uniquely American almost. Canada has a Thanksgiving as well, happens in October. So maybe it's a North American thing. But I just love the idea that, you know, we give thanks. It's not, it's not tied to nationalism. It's not tied to religion. It's not tied to a particular historical event. It's just an opportunity to sit down with friends and family and give thanks for what we have. How awesome is that?
Be grateful. Be grateful for what you have. I love it. I love it. Yeah, Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays. Even though my Christmas tree's up, we always go big for Thanksgiving as well. That's why we have a lot of guests coming. So, I gotta up the workout schedule to so those pounds don't hit me. All right. Well, AB, thanks so much for your wisdom and time today. Good to see you. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the SMB Community Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.